This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
He started getting reps, and he was on an arc of self-fulfilling confirmation bias prophecies of non-interrogation, because as his quote says, some people just can't be rationalized with, or what was the last quote he said?
Yeah, I got it somewhere here.
I got it too. Anyway. Yeah. You know, everyone's seen it a million times.
in the text exchange, is that what you're referring to? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Why did I do it? What am I looking for specifically?
The reason why he did it was some people just can't be reasoned with or rationalized or something like
that. Yeah, it's something. It's in here somewhere.
That's where curiosity was shown to die.
There was not. If you don't stretch that muscle very much, it just rots.
Yeah.
If you're not curious, you just go through life just bouncing off of the walls, and that's it. You're not going to re-engage. And I fear that we've lost an entire generation. And I don't mean to throw a blanket statement over it, but we just don't have people who are curious anymore.
We have neuroplasticity. We can get it going again.
Change, yeah. and there are people in that generation that are curious. It feels that it's very off balance than it has been in the past. And then we lead to this. I mean, one of the biggest things that everybody's just trying to wrap their mind around on this is this kid, he looked like pretty much any other normal kid. And I'm not just talking physically. I'm just talking, you know, if you met him and you... You saw any sort of interaction of him. I don't think a lot of people would think that this is a guy who's going to go do this. There's plenty of people who disliked Charlie Kirk. We know that.
Yep.
There's plenty of people who disagreed with him and plenty of people who I'm sure saw him coming to the campus as a negative thing, just as there were plenty that saw it as a positive thing. But the difference in this is just this is simplicity at which this guy went and said, okay, he's coming here. I don't like him. He's too whatever. And it's in this text over here somewhere. You know, what he was saying about it's too negative or too much hate. It usually stays within those bounds. It stays within the bounds of conversation, of expressing it on social media or to your friend or whatever. It doesn't typically end with, I'm going to go get grandpa's rifle and then go take him out. I mean, what is the difference? Like, what happened here? And if you do see that, it is typically a more radicalized, a more extreme individual that has a hell of a lot more signs about them than this guy.
Well, and think about, he said, I had enough of this hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out.
Yeah, that's okay,
that's a lie. Yep.
At this point, he should have gone to this actual speech that he was giving and taken him on in a conversation, put the gun down and have a conversation. If you think that Charlie Kirk is full of hate, then go take him on and beat him down with an argument. You don't have to shoot him and kill him. Yeah. Go have a verbal confrontation with him and try to bring him to your side. And I don't mean confrontation because that sounds argumentative, but have a discussion with the man and try to get him to come to your side. You don't have to kill him.
He didn't have, I mean, he was, yeah, I mean, he could have gone to the microphone. He didn't have to go to the roof.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Robin, because I want to get your response to that.
And so getting to your point, Tony, and then getting to him and what caused this, you know, not doing that and going to the mic. So here's where we have the parallels with ISIS, Al-Qaeda recruiting these sleeper cells, you know, because we're calling this online radicalization, which we called those things before. This is this is a new morphing of it. The way that typically terrorist groups that we've seen before have recruited, what made them effective at recruiting is who do they actively recruit? They took people that had nothing else to lose predominantly, that felt they had no purpose. They had no future. They had no economic well-being, and they were able to suck them in, recruit them, indoctrinate them into a way of thinking that gave them a purpose, that gave them something to do. And so here's some of the things I researched this, some of the parallels between what we're seeing through these self-radicalized assassin culture that's come about as the study from Rutgers coined it very effectively, and those other groups that we've seen from the past. And that's very, very similar. And one of the reasons why he acted like this and said these things, and when we saw his initial appearance, and when he all of a sudden seemed to have given up, he didn't just give up after he shot Charlie Kirk. He had given up before then. It's the reason why he did it, because he felt his life had no purpose. Matter of fact, so here's the other parallel with typical lone shooters is that lack, and it's why this typically in this age group as well, mid-20s, early 30s, is because it's that lack of purpose or looking for something to give their life meaning. And so they latch on to something, as unhealthy as it is, definitely in this case, and it becomes their meaning until the entire world comes crashing out. Because is also his grasp on reality, in my estimation, again, conjecture, he spent so many hours in unreal world that he didn't really grasp. I mean, just listen, the text exchange was it was so flippant about what he just did. Oh, it's no big deal to let it go. You know, and this has been going on for a while, Tony and Stacey. Years ago, before I retired from the FBI, I remember the first time we had an espionage case from someone from a millennial. It wasn't Gen Z here. It was a millennial. And what was very striking to me in this investigation was we had the telephone call that he had made to a foreign diplomatic establishment where he's basically volunteering over the phone to the bad guys to give them classified information because he wanted some cash. He wanted something in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to this conversation and I'm comparing it now, again, that arc to everything I've been exposed to before of other espionage investigations, whether it was Robert Hansen or whether it's any other insider threat espionage case we've done, where people were very cognitively aware of the damage they're doing against the national security of the United States, NATO allies, potentially killing people by their actions and what they're doing for themselves. You could hear the stress in their voice. You could hear the trauma that they're going through to kind of take out they knew the severity of what they're doing. You could see the difference in the everyday conversations with people and when they're actually going operational. This conversation, this text messaging, didn't just seem like it was everyday life. And the same thing, this first espionage case I saw from someone that was of a younger generation, millennial generation, he was having friends in the background, having a beer party, as he decided to pick up the phone and call the diplomatic establishment volunteering, flippant, whatever. Hey, I need some cash. And I'm like, you got to be, it was blowing my mind. And here again, we're seeing exactly the same thing because the understanding of the ramifications of their actions is completely vacant, which is very different than a Brian Koberger who's got just a broken brain or a Lori Debalvala. That's why this one's scary to people because of that. And he looked so much like so many kids we know.
Yeah.
It makes you scared. I mean, I probably reached out to friends and family numerous times, like I think we all did, just touching base. Hey, I'm here for you. Yeah. You know, in the last week to say, hey, I'm here for you. This is a path that no one has to go down.
Yeah.
But that's where I think that this origin of it came was that.
I mean, the origin, when if you were to have a conversation with the guy, you know, I'm sure you get the, I hate Charlie Kirk is, you know, what he would, you know, say, I hate it, this and that. Okay. But dig deeper. I think at the end of the day, you're going to have if you dig deep enough and ask the right questions, you're going to get a guy who hates himself. And that the fact that he's willing to go and put all this, his life on the line, he's gone. His life is over. He'll be executed by the government. But the lack of understanding that this is going to be the cause and effect of your actions seems to be a very missing part. There's a lot of people who hate themselves who go out and act out in ways. But even people who do hate themselves, I guess I'm very baffled by the lack of understanding of the cause and effect here, that he didn't seem to think that there would be an effect to these actions. In his letters, he literally says, to be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I mean, what? I'm sorry to involve you in the text exchange. And he's saying, you weren't the one who did it, right? I am. I'm sorry. I thought they caught the person. No, they grabbed some crazy old dude.
It's so flippant. It's so
he's calling someone else crazy.
It's like he's talking about going and ordering at Burger King. There's no gravity. There's no, he doesn't seem to grasp the depth of his actions at all. And I'm wondering why that is. What's missing in him or collectively in a chunk of a generation of people that this seems to be okay in their mind, that they can talk about it this flippantly.
And an element of it, again, without, I mean, who knows that they'll have to do psychological assessments and testing. Sure. On them. I think definitely one element is that lack of purpose. You know, when, you know, Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. I mean, how did people in the concentration camps maintain purpose and meaning? They're the only ones that actually, not the only ones, they are some of the ones that actually were able to survive physically deprivations that were done to the body that killed so many, you know, besides the Nazis themselves, but just the environment that they were in. But some were able to get muscle through it. Not muscle, it's not even the right word. Psychologically, they never gave up because they knew there was purpose in life, and they found that purpose, as small of a glimmer as that was. So when we as a species and an individual lose purpose, because that's an element of what we saw here, someone that totally lost purpose. And this is part of that big challenge of why this current generation, this current climate we're in, is self-radicalizing. Because if you feel you have no purpose, and then you have groups online that say, yeah, we have no purpose together, and it's easy to get down an arc of self-validation inside these echo chambers, well, why not? I hate this guy. This guy's an idiot. I don't like him, and I got nothing else to lose. And that's what, I mean, just see that.
And then that becomes their purpose. And I say that in air quotes.
It does, because he wants, I mean, a lot of, you know, that term criminal notoriety really comes into play with me as well on this one, because notoriety, not from how awesome I am, but also it's notoriety since I have a purpose. This was my purpose. And granted, at the onset, he had hopes of living through this. But I think that hope died when the reality started coming crashing down. And that's why he's on suicide watch right now. It's so scary, because he, until this, he, there's so many just like him. That's why this is such a
That's the scary part, I think, to a lot of people, is we think of, oh, you know, people are being recruited. They're doing this, they're doing that, they stand out. This was another lone wolf, which is the scariest thing. And the idea that he would flip so quick to think this is the solution, you got to think there's a lot more of them out there that are willing to do this on, you know, and on either side of belief systems of whatever one believes is the right way, quote unquote, that they could flip. Are we in an environment where there is a lot more of these folks who are out there that are we should be really concerned that we're going to start seeing a lot more of this? Or was this really just a very odd duck and it scared the shit out of all of us? I mean, really, what, where do you think we stand society-wise in terms of people being able to just self-radicalize in such a way that we really haven't seen in this country before with our own citizens?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.